Christ have redeemed us on the cross, died for the sinners, paid all his due, sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Cheapest of sin, as Jesus will say, all he has promised, God will do. Wash in the fountain open for sin, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Judgment is come, being God will be there, each one receiving justly his due. Hide in the saving sin, cleansing blood, and I will pass over you. I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Compassion upon this land, oh,
loving kindness,
faithful and true, thine decent shelter under the blood, then I
will pass over you. When I see the blood,
when I
see the blood, I will pass over. When I see the blood, yes, yes, yes.
When I
see the blood, when I see the blood,
when I
see the blood, I will pass over you.
Good evening, Saints, let's open Ephesians chapter 6. Greetings to Eric. God bless you, bro. Also, Brother George, Sister Leanna back. It's nice to see them. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's read from 10 to 12. Once again, different people aren't here for different reasons, but let's just be in prayer for them as well. Whosoever you don't see here, who normally is here, there's a reason. So we just really do keep them in prayer. Verse 10, Ephesians 6, verse 10 up to 12. Ephesians. This is very familiar scripture. We just want to take a thought from here for communion once again. When Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Amen. Let's just go a little bit further down to verse. Let's just continue reading from 12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Let's read Matthew chapter 4 as well. Take it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 4. This is when Jesus was involved in spiritual warfare. We know it well. Let's read the first four verses. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.'" Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd bless your word. Father, we've come into this house upon this evening to fellowship with you. Father, knowing that there's power in communion. Father, we're needy people, bringing ourselves before thee, bringing every petition before thee. Father, your people that would be here and there, the sickness that has been prayed for, every other need, we consecrate it into thine hands. Father, be glorified this day. We give ourselves to thee, both he that would speak and they that would hear. Father, prepare our hearts to come to partake of this bread and this wine, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. I just want to speak on the topic of conflict and communion. You know, every single one of us, the Christian walk, we know it very well. Anybody who's been a believer for even the shorter space of time knows the conflict, the spiritual warfare that is involved in the life of a believer. And I just really wanted just to focus on that thought this evening, was the absolute necessity of communion, real spiritual communion with the Lord himself, if we are to prevail, if we are to overcome in this Christian warfare. You know, it's such an important thing. But first, I just wanted to take a few quotes. The prophet was speaking about the scripture we've read in Matthew 4 about man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And he says a few real interesting things, some for new people and so forth. But he says in the message, El Shaddai, he says, "I'm so glad to know that man shall not live by bread alone." And I'm sure that you as a believer, you're glad you've tasted and you've seen it yourself, that just the things of this life, the wisdom of this world, the knowledge of the things that you learn, it's never sufficient to satisfy a believer. There's no power, there's no victory in anything else apart from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And the prophet says he feeds his little ones. He pours his strength into his believers through the word. And that's why we're only as strong as the word that is within us. But you know, everybody reads the word. Some people memorize the word. Some people, they can quote different portions of the scripture. But there's no victory in that kind of knowing of the word. It's the real spiritual revelation of the word that gives you the victory inside of your life. We have the whole Bible, but inside of these 66 books tonight, for each and every one of us, there's something inside of here that will minister to your individual situation. There's a certain word inside of here, which is a word that you need at this time. There's certain things inside of here that will minister to the situation that I'm in at this time. And that is what makes the great difference. That is what pours God's strength into the church is that particular word for your particular situation. And that's what he's speaking about when he speaks about El Shaddai, drawing strength from the breasted one. El Shaddai, what it means, the breasted one. Then he says, and have not I sent thee? He says, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. So when you get saved, he says, the best thing to do is sit down with your Bible and constantly read. Now it's so simple that, but I've seen so many believers get overcome because they don't do that. You know, believers don't give the Lord an opportunity to give them the ammunition that they need to overcome the condition that they're in. And you'll find many times you're just on the back foot spiritually, continually trying to fend off the various blows and temptations of the devil. And we don't have any power or any something which is required to take the thing onto the offensive. Because it's only revelation. It's only when God pours forth something to your particular situation that puts you on the offensive now, that gives you now that which is required to overcome. So the prophet says, when you get saved, you should sit down constantly with your Bible and read. And I'm so glad to say that I remember when I first repented, and I really got so much into that. It was that I realized the power of the word. Just the pure word. Just sitting down, praying first, and asking the Lord to lead and guide you to your daily bread. Saying, Lord, give unto us this day our daily bread. And there's something about that, about believers in the word. The prophet says, constantly read it, because that is what builds you up. That is the meat and potato diet for a believer. There's many other things we can get involved in. There's all the things like you go to the restaurant, you can eat the ice cream, you can eat all the other things. There's no nutrition really in those things. They taste nice, but they don't put something inside of you that helps you to overcome disease, to overcome the things that you're going to have to go through. But there's certain the meat and the potatoes, the vegetables, when you eat them on a regular basis, it puts something in your immune system. And that is what it is with the Word of God. When a believer feeds on the Word of God, it's very difficult for the devil to prevail over that person. He may knock you down here and there, but you're quickly going to get up because you have the spiritual resources that are required. But we continually and constantly need this. That's why he says in communion, he says, each day we've got to commune with Christ. Because friends, the devil doesn't rest. The devil doesn't have a weekend. The devil doesn't take time off. Every day, if he finds an opportunity, he's after you. Every day, if he sees a gap in the defense, if he sees an opening in the hedge around you, he's going to be there. Because that's what he's there for. That's his job. He's always going to be there. So therefore, each and every day, we need to be communion with Christ. Because we don't have the intelligence, we don't have the resources in ourselves to overcome the devil. We can't overcome him. He's far smarter than you and I. He's far more intelligent with his sinister and his cunning and his wiles and his intelligence than we're ever going to be. So if we're ever going to prevail and overcome in this war, we need constant communion with the one that is more intelligent than him, and that is Christ. Because an army is only as strong and victorious as its intelligence. If you're in battle and you know the battle plans of the enemy, you know the position of the enemy, you know his movements, you can discern his what he's going to do next. It's impossible for you to lose because you know what the enemy is about to do. And the good thing about it is that God's secret weapon to people, what the Lord desires more than anything, is on a continual basis to be giving you what you need to overcome the devil in your current situation. Previous victories were wonderful. What happened last week was great. It's good to testify of it. It's good to sing about it. But that's not going to help you to overcome today. You need overcoming strength, you need overcoming power today to overcome the conditions of today. And that needs constant communion with Christ. That's what he says. Each day we've got to commune with Christ. We've got to talk with him each day. He says if your physical body needs food each day and drink each day to survive, your spiritual body needs food and communion each day to survive. And friends, so many times people, they want to get counsel, want to get advice because they're failing to overcome this, then, and the other. And the first thing you can always ask a person like that is, are you praying every day and are you reading your Bible every day? Are you getting in the Word? Are you spending time with the Lord? Because just the simplicity of that, which the prophet answered, how do I get closer to God? Read your Bible more and pray more. It's such a simple thing, such simple tactics that God has given us, but Satan's going to continually try to hinder and hamper and keep us from that because he, many times more than us, realizes the power of just that simple communion and fellowship with the Lord. He realizes, he knows the overcoming power in a believer who is just simply feeding on the Word, who's simply getting on the knees and spending time in the presence of God. It's so simple, but it's so powerful. And that's how the devil's going to make all sorts of obstacles in the way. It's going to be all these things happen in the home. All these things are going to happen to make you busy. You're going to have so many things going to occupy you in life that if you're not careful, day by day is going to go by and you haven't had communion with him. And friends, when you haven't had communion with the Lord, be careful because you're going to start having communion with the devil. Because he's going to be there to take advantage the moment that he sees you in that kind of a condition. Because the devil departed from Jesus for a season, the Bible says. He waited for a better season. He knew there that Jesus was full of the Spirit, that Jesus was victorious, and the devil withdrew. And he said, let me wait for a better opportunity. And then whenever there would be an opportunity, a chance to try to move in, the devil would move in once again. But with Jesus, he was always in communion. So the prophet says, yes, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So each day, this is the prophet, we've got to study the Bible. You've got to study the Bible. It's fine just to read, friends, but you know what it's like just to read. There's so many times we just read the scriptures. We just read the message. But it doesn't really put any victorious overcoming power in us. It doesn't change the way that you are, the way that you look at things. It doesn't make you more victorious in the battle because you've got to study. You've got to get yourself in that condition that you move into the place of communion, that you start getting to the place that fresh battle orders are transmitted to you from headquarters once again. Fresh intelligence about the enemy, helping you to see and discern and understand what really is going on in your current situation. Because you know the wiles of the devil. He hides himself away. He doesn't show himself openly what he's doing. But the Word of God is a discerner. The Word of God sees behind the scenes. The Word knows exactly what's going on in secret, what's been spoken in secret, and it can speak it on the housetops. And it can come and unveil and reveal everything that Satan is thinking about you. And that's what the Lord loves to do to his children on a daily basis, to give you the victory each day. The prophet says, so each day we've got to study the Bible. Some people don't study it at all. But a real, real believer that's really spiritually built up, he reads his Bible every day and talks to the Lord. I just wanted to put those basics there again because, friends, it's the basics. The prophet says it's not the big things that we do, but it's the little things that we leave undone. And if you just get those ABCs right, friends, a lot of the algebra takes care of itself. Just get those basics right. We've got to have communion with him. I remember our pastor when I was in Pentecost used to say that, and I never forgot it. He says, make sure you meet the Lord before you meet the devil. Every day. Meet the Lord first before you get out there to meet the devil. Because that's going to equip you for whatever's coming that you have to face up to that day. Because you put on your armor, you're equipped, you're ready to face the inevitable fight that's coming your way, the conflict that you're going to have to face up to. Then finally, in super sense, he says, and sometimes in reading, now he shows where the victory starts coming in. And like I know, it's simple what I'm saying here, but I just wanted to reinforce it once again. The prophet says, and sometimes in reading, you will strike a word and it becomes alive to you. Now this is when the victory is going to start coming in because this is fresh battle orders coming from above. You're not just reading and it's just knowledge that you accumulate. You're not just memorizing things which have got no life to you at that time. But the key to it all is finding that something, like he says, a word that becomes alive to you. That's the way a minister gets his message. He just starts reading the Bible. And the first thing you know, you strike something. And something adds to that something. Something adds to that something. Amen. He says, just go forth with that. Amen. And the Lord will bless it. Amen. And that's the way that it is in our personal lives as well. We know what it's like, friends. You get yourself quiet with the Lord. You get yourself to a certain place in the scripture. And that word starts becoming alive. That word has Zoe life in it. It has the life of God himself. And God is pouring out strength. And God is pouring out intelligence. And God is pouring out everything that you and I require to overcome through the simplicity of communion with him in his word. And friends, there's such prevailing power in that. Because it's so personal. We're going to come to the communion table here. And each of us, although there's one piece of bread we're going to break, every single one of us is going to eat our own particular portion of that bread this evening. Each and every one of us is going to digest and become one with that. And that is typifying the word. Here's the whole of the word. But there's a certain something that the Lord needs to break to you and me at this time to minister to us in our particular situations. And what the Lord's dealing with you, what's helpful to you may not be helpful to me at this time. It's absolutely the truth. It's powerful revelation to you. But it's not the situation that I'm in. I need my own personal battle orders from above. I need my own personal divine intelligence. I need my own personal communion so that I can receive the mind of Christ to see my situation the way that the Lord sees my situation. Because the moment I see things the way that the Lord sees things, the devil's going to have a lot of trouble. There's going to be some overcoming then. Because so many times we get in situations, we don't know what's going on. We get perplexed. We get caught between. You know what it's like. The prophet speaks of Job. We read it the other week. When Job was in a position, he was under attack. The enemy attacked his wealth. The enemy attacked his health. The enemy attacked his home, his children. The enemy anointed his wife. The enemy anointed the brothers that were around him. And Job was in a position that he didn't know what was going on. And that's a difficult position to be in. Job didn't know the reality. What is God thinking? Have I done something wrong? Now maybe, did I not offer the sacrifice the way that I should? Am I not fully under the blood? What is wrong? You see, when you get caught in between there, when the devil is coming at you, but you haven't yet received intelligence from above, you haven't received something, the word for your situation, for you to see it the way that God sees it, those are very difficult times in the life of a believer. That's when you go through anxiety. That's when you go through stress. That's when you go through pressure. And those are the times which the devil delights in. Because that's a better season for the devil. Because he can now do whatever he wants and you're not exactly sure how to fight. You're on the back foot like we said last week. You're putting up your sword. You're defending your shield. You're defending with your sword. But you don't really know what's going on. You've been taken unawares. The Lord allows that to happen. But friends, you don't really want to stay in that kind of a condition for too long. That's a dangerous kind of a condition. But the wonderful thing about revelation through communion with God, revelation, when it comes in, it changes the whole battlefield. Because revelation gives you fresh impetus once again. Because God has poured forth heavenly resources into your soul. God has poured forth his life. God has poured forth what you need at that time. And revelation turns things around. And where before you were on the back foot trying to defend yourself, revelation puts you on the front foot. You take the initiative away from the devil once again. And instead of you being on the defensive, you're on the offensive. You take in the fight to the enemy whenever you're working with divine revelation. That's why it's so important for us. Like we said the other week, you don't want to be on the back foot all the time with the devil. You don't want to always be trying to defend yourself and ward off his fiery darts and ward off the blows of the enemy, because one of them is going to get through in the end, because you're going to get tired of being on the defensive all the time. And the best form of defense is attack. Amen. Is to take the battle to the enemy, and we can't do it in our own resources. It needs revelation. It needs God to drop something down the channel. Those fresh battle orders. And that changes the way that you see the battle. All of a sudden, you'll see it the way that it is. The prophet speaks of the first 2 years of when Sister Rebecca was a young baby. And he says, and she would cry constantly. And he says, it was so difficult. He says, we couldn't sleep at night. He says, when we would go down to the restaurant, he said, one of us would have to take the baby out on the street crying all the time. The other one would be sitting in the restaurant eating. Then we'd change and then the other one would eat. He says, for 2 years. He says, and one day in prayer, the Lord revealed it to me. And the Lord says, this is the devil fighting against your ministry. And then he saw it, that this is the devil. And he says, give me that child. And he rebuked it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, it was never cried again. But it took that kind of divine intelligence to see it the way that God did. Maybe the prophet was trying all different kinds of things, thinking this was the remedy and that was the solution. But what it needed was something fresh from above. For the Lord to speak and say, this is the enemy, rebuke him now. And that changed the whole battlefield. Because the prophet took it on the offensive now and there was prevailing power. Because revelation always gives you prevailing power. So that's why the prophet says there's got to be something that is quickened to you in the word. That's what communion does. When you're in fellowship with God and then you get inside of the word, something gets quickened to you inside of the word. And as you start reading that, there's like a deep which is calling to the deep in that particular part of the word. And the more you spend time around that, the more that you feed your soul on that, one thing adds to another and something adds to another and something adds to another. And friends, the devil doesn't like that. Because you're gaining spiritual resources, you're putting on a spiritual armor here that's going to change the situation that you're in. Because God doesn't speak just randomly to his people. If you find there's a certain scripture speaking to you, or you take a certain message and you start playing it and it starts really ministering to your soul, pay heed. God doesn't just give you a word for nothing. There's a reason, there's a purpose, there's a necessity for that inside of your spiritual experience at that time. Maybe you need it right now to change the condition right now. Or maybe the Lord knows you're going to need it this week coming or the week after that. But there's a purpose why God is quickening that something to you now. Maybe you've read it many times before and it was just something that wasn't quickened to you. But all of a sudden you get to that same thing at a certain time, a certain place, a certain season, and you start having communion with God in that particular part of his word. That's the grace of God to you. That's battle orders. That's an armor that he's equipping you with. That's something that's giving you an impetus, that's giving you what you require to overcome what you're in, either now or what you're going to have to overcome down the way. And you may be so excited and go and try to tell everybody else about it, and they all look at you like, hey, you know, we all know that scripture in the Bible. Because it's not quickened to them at that time. It's a personal revelation to you. It's something for you that you need. Maybe they're going to need it down the way, but it's something personal that you need at that time. And that's the power of the word. That's why we so much need genuine communion with God. And friends, more so in this hour that we're living in, the darker it becomes, the more the devil tries to do his things. Friends, there's so many things that can discourage in this life. That's one of the greatest things the devil wants to do is to discourage a believer. That's why in Joshua chapter 1, how many times did the Lord say to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage? And the prophet says, if God says to you, be of good courage, or if the Lord says, fear not, it means there's something coming which is going to have some fear. It's going to have the potential to discourage. It's going to have the potential to be a real struggle for you. But the Lord wants to prepare you beforehand. This is like a mother when she comes and she puts the baby in the bed. And then she's going to turn out the light, her young child. She doesn't just turn off the light and close the door and go. She warns the child first. She says, honey, I'm going to turn out the light. But don't worry, mommy's still going to be here. And then she turns out the light and the child is prepared for what's coming and is comforted. And that's what God wants to do as well. He doesn't want us to be taken unawares. There's temptations we have to go through. There's trials we have to go through. There's going to be times of perplexity. The prophet says, and I know, he says, why should a believer be perplexed? He says, but we face up to more trials when we become believers than we did when we weren't believers. Now, the closer you get to the perfect will of God for your life, the more trouble you're going to have, outwardly speaking, because you are a threat to the devil. The devil's going to try to knock you down because he can see the potential of where you're getting to. He's going to try to do everything that he can to move you out of position, to get you from the place where you're getting to. Because God knows where he's trying to place you. And the devil fears that. He doesn't know exactly what God wants in your life, but the devil can see when God is working in your life. The devil can see and he can sense, and those forces of darkness that are assigned personally to you to come and follow you around, to distract you, discourage you, do whatever they can to you, try to anoint you with unbelief, try to speak to your mind in this great battle that we're going through. They know and they can sense when there's the life of God which is starting to brew. The life of God that is starting once again to burn inside of your soul. And that's the thing that they don't want. Because the devil can overcome you and I as human beings any day. But great is he that is in us and he that is in the world. And when we're giving him in us preeminence, we're letting him go before. We're letting him do the leading and make the choices for us. Satan doesn't have a chance, friends. And he knows that. That's why he wants to keep us from that position. He doesn't want us to get into that kind of a place. That's why man shall not live by bread alone, friends. All of these natural things, yes, we need them. But the thing that a believer needs more than anything else is the word of God. You know, we've spoken of it once before, the two different words for the word. There's the logos. The logos is the thoughts expressed. So all that Jesus was the Logos. All of God's program, all of God's redemptive plan is in the Logos. But then there's another word for the word, and that is the Rhema. And the Rhema is a statement or something which you take from the Logos, the entire revelation of God's word. God's word is all revelation. But there's certain parts of this revelation that you and I need at certain times. And that is what the Rhema is. When Paul said in the Bible, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That wasn't the Logos. That was the Rhema. He's not saying just take the whole Word. Just read anywhere. Just, you know, memorize this and that. That's okay. That's the Logos of the Word. But Paul was saying there's a specific part of the Word that is required for your specific situation. And that is the sword of the Spirit. When God gives you that revelation, it's like the Holy Ghost has given you a sword. He's given you something to fight with, something to, first of all, defend yourself with, and something to go on the initiative and take the fight to the enemy with. But it's the sword of the Spirit. It's a particular part of the word that God quickens, like the prophet says, and gives to you by revelation at that time in your life. To face up to exactly the condition that you're going through at that time. And that is where the victory comes in, friends. Is that sword of the Spirit. Is that quickened word. Not just the body word itself, which is wonderful. Every one of the words in this Bible are God-breathed. They're inspired by God. But there's certain parts of this word that God is going to shine his light and pour his life into and bring to your soul at certain times. And if you can just receive that and feed on that and go forth in that, that's where the overcoming power comes in. Is that sword of the Spirit. Now, the prophet, he speaks of different things about when the word would come. You think of him inside of his ministry. He'd get into certain situations that he wouldn't understand. He comes to 1962, the prophet, and all the doors are being closed, and many of his old friends, they don't want to ask him to preach anymore. Remember the situation that he was in because of his stand for the word. And he really got discouraged about that. He didn't understand. You see, when things start taking place and events start transpiring and you don't know what God is thinking about that situation, you don't know the reason why God has allowed that situation, it really can put you in a situation you can get discouraged. You get confused. What does this mean? Why is this going on? Why did that happen? And Satan moves in at that kind of a time. The prophet says, if God isn't speaking to you, then it's the devil's turn. You see, the moment you're not receiving from the Lord, you're not in that realm of communion, you get yourself out of there. The prophet says, many times you get yourself tired, you get yourself worn out, and you get discouraged. He says, and the devil comes to you there. Because it's his opportunity now to come and speak to you. And he comes and he speaks. And the prophet maybe at that time didn't understand 1962. Why have the full gospel businessmen closing their doors? Why? He says, I used to have thousands of letters coming a day. He says, it came all the way down to about 75. He says, and I didn't understand what was going on. He says, and then one day, in the opening of the word, the Lord revealed it to me. And he says, and I want to come and preach it. He says, the Lord revealed it to me a few months ago, but I wanted to come and preach it to my church on the present stage of the ministry. And he comes and he takes 2 Timothy chapter 4 and he takes the ministry of Paul. And he shows Paul just before his crowning time, he had to go through this testing time when Demas forsook him and all those different things took place. Now that's such a wonderful thing, friends, where if you can take your current situation and you can find it in the Word, that makes all the difference. If you can see, but oh my, that's exactly the way that things have to be. You see, it takes away all the mysterious element of what you're going through. It takes away all the darkness and the shadows, because the devil speaks from the shadows. The devil speaks in a cunning way. He doesn't want you to see things clearly. He wants to make you think maybe this and maybe that, and maybe I shouldn't have done those, or maybe I should have done that. He wants to keep you in that place where you're like double-minded. You're not settled. You know, the word to worry in the Bible, to care, casting all your cares upon him, it comes from the word that means to divide. That's what it is to have worry, anxiety, care. Your mind is divided. You're not settled on one thing. It's, is it this or is it that? And you lie in your bed and your mind is divided. You're thinking this, that, and that's what worry does to you. It divides your mind. The Lord doesn't want you to be in that kind of a condition. And the way you can overcome that is to receive the mind of Christ. It's when he comes on the scene and reveals to you exactly the answer to what you're going through. And then all of a sudden you start seeing your situation the way that Jesus sees your situation. And you start seeing, but there's nothing wrong here. That's what the prophet did. He said, there's nothing wrong here. This is the way that things just have to be at that time in his ministry, the present stage of the ministry. And it's the same as us in anything that we're going through. A while back I said that to me these days, the book of Psalms has been such a wonderful thing for me to have communion with the Lord in, because the Lord took, David wrote most of the Psalms, 150 Psalms. And David was just about in every condition you can think of that you and I can go through in those Psalms. Sometimes he was victorious. Sometimes he's rejoicing. The ark's coming back to Jerusalem. Sometimes he's being pursued by the enemies. Sometimes his soul is cast down. Sometimes David's praying in the cave. Sometimes he's escaping from the Philistines. You know, there's all the different circumstances. And the thing that is so powerful about that book is that many times you and I will be in a situation that we'll be feeling, but I don't think anybody ever had to go through this. You know, I don't understand what's going on. And then you'll go and find it somewhere in a psalm and you'll find, but oh my, David was in exactly the same situation as me. And that just takes away the burden, because you can see I'm not on my own in this. It's normal for someone to go through this. Others before me, mighty men, have been through the same thing. That takes away all the bitterness, friends. It's such a wonderful thing. And that is why the communion of believers, the fellowship of kindred minds, like the song says, communion with one another is very powerful as well. Because when I can sit down with you and I can say, brother, I'm just discouraged these days. You know, things, I just don't know what to do. And you, the Lord can anoint you and you can enter in. And you can start speaking to me and say, brother, I know exactly what you've been going through. I've been through that before. Or you can just be used of the Lord to minister, even just an understanding ear, just some compassion into my current situation. I can come away from that place feeling, but at least there's somebody who understands. Yeah. This is normal what I'm going through. This brother went through the same things as well. Or, you know, there's something about it. Even sometimes just speaking to somebody else about what you're going through, it makes all the difference. It brings a balance once again. It brings things back into perspective. Because when it's just you and the devil, and the devil speaking to you all the time, you see, and you're keeping it to yourself, and you're burdened, and you're weighed down, and you're heavy because of what you're going through, and you can't seem to break through into heavenly places to have fellowship with the Lord at that time about what you're going through. Friends, when it's just you and the devil, he can blow things out of all perspective. Amen. You know, he can make the smallest thing appear so great. He can make the smallest problem appear to be something that there's no solution to. But the moment that you sit down with, like the prophet says, a good old godly brother or godly sister, somebody who cares for you and you care for them, somebody that God has ordained you to be together with at this season in your life, and you just sit down with them and say, hey, brother, please, can I just tell you what's in my heart? This and this and this and this is happening inside of my life, and I really don't know what's going on. Just that ability to speak to somebody in the coolness of things. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Amen. And just to sit down and talk it over with someone, the prophet says, and that person to say, brother, let's kneel down and let's pray. And to know that person understands and that person feels for you and that person's going to pray for you. It takes away a lot of the burden. Yes, there's still the portion you and you alone have to overcome in that problem, because no one else can overcome what you and I have to overcome. It's an individual affair. But, like with Jesus, when he had his Peter, James, and John, as we always say, and you read 2 Timothy 4 and you find Paul's coming to the end of his life. He's about to be offered. He's going to go and appear before Nero the second time. This time he's going to be put to death. What was his desire? Right in this place, he's in this Roman dungeon and he's cold. He only has his one coat and he wants the books to come and all those things. But he says, my son Timothy, do your diligence to come to me quickly. He wants Timothy to be there. And why? Because the next verse says, for Demas has forsaken me. You know, so Demas has forsaken him. It's very discouraging for Paul in the time of his need. But he knows there's a Timothy. If I can just have fellowship with my son Timothy, it'll bring things back into balance once again. It'll bring things back into perspective once again. And friends, we need to give opportunity for the Lord to minister us back into a balance. And that's why we need the communion of the word. That's why we need the communion with one another, spiritual communion. Not arguing with each other about who's better and this, that, and the other, or the political affairs of this life. There's no virtue in those things, friends. I don't need someone to come to me at this time inside of my life and tell me about the politics in Zimbabwe. I don't want to know about those things now. There's no virtue in that, or the politics in Congo, or who's winning the election here. That's okay. But can't you come to me with something that the Lord's anointed and come and minister to my situation now? No, there's enough of the devil and the world speaking to me. Come with something that can change my situation. And then we fulfilled the purpose of our being together in this season. Is if you can come with a word in season for me. Because David said it, or Solomon said it, he said, a word in season, how good it is. Amen. That particular something which is anointed by God and inspired by God. And that person maybe doesn't even know why they're saying it to you. But they come to you and they just say, brother, you know, I was reading something and I thought about you. And I read this in the spoken word. Can I read it to you? And maybe it's exactly the ministration of the Holy Ghost into my current situation that I'm going through. Maybe that's how there's going to be the entrance of the word to bring light into my situation. Friends, it's so wonderful when those things happen. No, sometimes it's not even that you want somebody to say a lot, but sometimes it's just so wonderful to have an opportunity to sit and pour out what's in your heart before someone who's not going to judge you, who's not going to look down on you, but it's somebody who cares for you. And you just speak about what you're going through. Hey, and you come away from there, and maybe that person hasn't even said much to you. They just said, brother, we'll definitely be in prayer for you. I do understand it's not easy what you're going through, brother, but we're together in the battle. We're together in the war. We're Gentile warriors in the last days. Whatever way somebody wants to encourage you. And you come from that place. And the burden's been lifted to a great extent, because the Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. It's so wonderful, friends. But it's got to be something spiritual. It's got to be something in heavenly places. It's got to be something that ministers divine resources to you that you require at that time. And that's what communion really is. And that's how we need communion in this conflict that we're in. We need communion more and more each day. I've spoken of it many times, of Mary going down to Elizabeth at that time. You think of just how powerful that was. Because Mary was in a lot of trouble in her community. They didn't understand her. She had a bad name. She's found with child. She's not yet married. She's just espoused to Joseph. Joseph himself doesn't understand. She knows she's expecting. What's the first thing she thinks of doing? Let me go and visit Elizabeth. Why? Because the angel had told her, with God nothing is impossible. Even Elizabeth is found with child in her old age. So she knew, oh, God's dealing with Elizabeth as well. Let me get down to my sister that God is dealing with her. Maybe she can help me in the current condition that I'm in. Because I don't really know how to handle the situation. I don't know how I'm going to tell Joseph about this condition that I'm in. I don't know how my mother, my father, my uncles, my aunts, and everybody's going to understand when I come and tell them this fantastic story. But anyhow, before I get into the battle, let me go down and have some communion. And she goes down there. As soon as she gets there, the Holy Ghost comes on the scene. And Elizabeth is filled with the Spirit and says, whence cometh the mother of my Lord unto me? Hey, blessed art thou. You shall be called blessed because you have believed. And the very things the angel's been saying to Mary up there is the very things that are coming out of the mouth of Elizabeth down here. And this must have been such a wonderful encouragement. And then once she had had that communion there, Mary and Elizabeth, for that portion of time, Mary knew, now's my time. God has equipped me in this communion, in this fellowship. I need to get up there now, face up to the battle. And she went up there, and Joseph didn't understand, and he wanted to put away privately, and God had to come and have communion with Joseph as well, so that Joseph would see the situation the way that God saw the situation. And that made all the difference when the revelation came. And Joseph saw there's nothing out of control here. There's nothing wrong. This is in accordance with the scriptures. This is exactly what's got to take place at this time. And that made all the difference in that condition. And that's why this thing of communion, friends, communion with God in His Word and communion with God in His people, it's a very powerful thing. It's very powerful, friends. And the moment we separate ourselves from either of those, we've given room to the devil. We've given him an opportunity to take advantage. And is it not like that us as human beings, that the more discouraged we feel, the more we want to stay on our own? Which is exactly the opposite of what we need to do. The more discouraged we are, the less we read our Bibles. The more burdened we feel, the less we go and pray. Yet the Bible says we need to cast all of our care upon him because he cares for us. But it's just so natural for us as human beings that when we don't understand, when we discourage, we're disappointed. Look, as people who aren't here tonight at communion, and I know why they're not here, because they're disappointed with something. You see, but instead of being in communion, we stay away from communion. Instead of being in fellowship so that we've opened some sort of channel for the Lord to give us the ammunition that we need to change the battlefield. Maybe tonight, somebody could have come here who's on the defensive and the devil's attacking them. And maybe tonight the Lord wanted in the communion service to bring the initiative to them, to change the battlefield. And maybe something was going to drop down the channel into the soul of that person by divine grace. And that person was going to take out the sword of the Spirit, the quickened word now. And instead of being on the defensive and trying to fend off the blows of the enemy, that person was going to go on the initiative once again. Was going to go on the attack. But instead, sometimes we just stay at home and we feel sorry for ourselves and we lie on our bed and we allow all the things to play through our minds and we make up all these resolutions of what we're going to do in that kind of a condition, in that kind of an atmosphere. Friends, we're making a big mistake. The only time you should make a big decision about life is when you've had communion with Him. When you've had a conference with Him. When you've been in that atmosphere of Zoe life. When His divine intelligence has come down, when He's revealed to you the way that He sees things, that's when you can make a rational decision about what you should do. Apart from that, friends, you're firing blindly and hoping that you're going to overcome your enemy. And in this kind of a time, you don't want to really be doing that. Just to come to a close, that's why we need these battle orders. Look in Daniel chapter 10, just to show you the spiritual warfare, friends. And I know I'm speaking things that all of us as believers we go through on a regular basis. Daniel chapter 10, something was revealed to Daniel in verse 1. It says, but the time appointed was long and he understood the thing in an understanding of the vision. So something was revealed to Daniel. But he didn't know what to do with it. You know, he didn't really know, what do I need to do now? And in verse 2, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then he lifted up his eyes. He went down to the river and he started to pray. And he started now to get into this fellowship and this communion with God. That the verse that we want is when he says in verse 10, verse 11. This is when Gabriel came. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I'm come for your words. So imagine he's put himself before the Lord with earnestness and sincerity. He's fasted 3 weeks, eating no pleasant food. Separate himself. He's not doing anything pleasant. He's an old man. He's 80-something. He can't go so long without any food. He's got his duties that he's got to keep as the prime minister of the kingdom. He's got all the responsibilities of life. So he doesn't eat anything pleasant. He doesn't anoint himself. And whenever he can, he's down there committing himself before the Lord. He's saying, Lord, I don't understand. Lord, I need to hear from you. Lord, I need fresh instructions. I need battle orders once again from you. Lord, I need a word in season. I need to know. And he prays the first day and the second day, and it's dark, spiritually speaking. He prays the third day, still no answer. Prays the fourth day. There's still the spiritual heaviness. There's something taking place. But this man is determined because he knows, I need to hear from God. I need to hear concerning my current situation. I can't go forward. I can't go backwards. What am I supposed to do? I need to hear from the chief captain of the host, of the Lord's host. And finally, after 21 days, down comes the angel. And then he goes and explains to him. He says, from the first day that you prayed, your prayers were heard. Verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So it says, Daniel, this was serious spiritual warfare, because the devil knew what you needed. The devil knew the power of what was going to be revealed to you. And there was a conflict in heavenly places. And friends, take that story and put it in your situation. It's like it many times. You'll pray, you'll seek God, you'll wonder, but Lord, I've done everything I can to make everything right. I've put everything under the blood. I've tried to humble myself. Lord, show me what I should do. Show me the way that I should go. Lord, what are you expecting of me at this time? And it seems the answer doesn't come. That's normal, friends. That's spiritual warfare. Just keep holding on. Just keep, because from the moment that you first set your heart to seek the Lord, your prayer has been heard. Something's already moving in heavenly places. But Satan knows the importance of revelation to a believer just as much as the Lord does. And he's going to do everything that he can to block. He may come and there's problems in your work, problems in your health, problems in your home. Sickness comes by, problems in the car, this, that, and the other. So many problems can come. What is it? It's the devil trying to frustrate. But you've just got to stay there and you've got to keep holding on. Because friends, we cannot wage this warfare without the divine intelligence that we need on a continual basis to go and face up to the foes that we're facing up to at this time. And you've got to stay there. And eventually in due season, Michael, who's Christ, he sees this prince of Persia, a powerful spiritual force. And Michael has to stand up. And he has to go and with his authority, clear the way spiritually speaking, so that the revelation can come through to Daniel. Friends, that shows just how important it is to us. The devil knows just how important revelation is to a believer. And he's going to do everything that he can to stop it. He's going to try, like I said, to get you too busy. He's going to get you so occupied in the natural things of life, many times not sinful things, that you're going to spend the worst part of your day and give it to the Lord. Which you should always be trying to give the best part of your day. The time when you're fresh, the time when you have strength, the time when your mind is clear, the time when you have strength to pray, give that time to the Lord. Amen. Don't wait till the end of the day when the battle's just about over and you've gone through all of these confusing things in the day. And then you go and kneel down when you're tired and think you're going to get somewhere spiritually speaking. Sometimes it has to be like that, but don't let that become the norm in your spiritual experience. No matter what you've got to do in your timetable, you rearrange the timetable of your life to make sure that the choice part of your day, the most precious part that you possibly can, you give it to communion with Him. You give it to prayer. You give it to the study of His Word, the study of His message. Because that's the only way that we prevail in this warfare, friends. And Satan's going to bring all the spiritual darkness, all the discouragement. Like Brother Wilmore says, just before you come and you want to do something for the Lord, there's going to come a text message. There's going to come a phone call of something discouraging. There's going to come something take place somewhere here, there, or everywhere. And it's going to come and Satan's going to try to use those circumstances to pour water on you, spiritually speaking. And before you had zeal, you were going to take the initiative once again. And there's just like a spirit of discouragement comes on you once again. It just, what's the point? Yes, there is a point, my friend. Just keep going forward. And that's why the Lord said to Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Because we're going to need it, friends. You're going to need to pick yourself up many, many times, dust yourself down and say, okay, he knocked me down, but he's not going to do it again. By the grace of God, this time I wait upon him and he's going to show me how to fight in this battle. And it's revelation that gives us authority over the devil. Just to finish off, the prophet says that he speaks about Jesus and he says, when Jesus was tempted of the devil, he overcame the personal temptations of Satan by the word and the word only. But it wasn't just the whole Bible that Jesus quoted. When the devil came and said, you hungry? Turn the stones into bread. There was a certain part of the word that was quickened to Jesus at that time. God poured some virtue into a certain part of the word. And Jesus says, yes, but man shall not live by bread alone. That was the sword of the Spirit. He took out the sword. When the devil was trying to knock him back, he took out his sword and he took the fight now to the devil. He took it back to him. First, you know, they say those Roman swords, the one that Paul was speaking of in the whole armor of God, it was about 60 centimeters long, sharp on both sides, had a razor point at the front to stab through. But they say that primarily at first, when you're in a battle, you'd use it for defense, to block. But you never wanted to stay like that for much. You then want to take that and you would stab. And it was a powerful weapon. And that's what the word is. God will give you the word to block what the enemy is trying to do to you, but don't stop there. Let it move on that the word, now you take the initiative to the devil. You get the impetus. You put him on the back foot. And it's only divine revelation that does it to us. And the prophet says that Jesus, in those personal temptations of Satan. What are your personal temptations now? I know what mine are now. I know the greatest battle ever fought that takes place in me sometimes. I know what the devil tries to say and what the devil tries to you do as well. Your personal temptations may be different than my personal temptations. But let me tell you, every single one of us at this time are going through something. Because this is a warfare that you've been called to. And we need communion with him. And we need communion with one another. We need to be honest with each other and open-hearted one to another. Don't hold things back. You know, there's that song that Mark Bishop sings, such a nice song, when he says, can I pray for you? Can I mention your name to the Lord? You know, it says, don't bear these burdens alone. You know, it's such a nice song when he sings, can I pray for you? Can I mention your name to the Lord? He says, and if you come and we pray, he says, like the two of us, he says, very soon it'll be three, you and Jesus and me. Imagine, instead of you just being on your own, wondering, how am I going to overcome this thing? You be led of the Lord. You go to your brother, you go to your sister, you sit down and you say, brother, well, sister, please, can't we get into a time of prayer? I'm having a hard time here. And very soon it becomes three. It's not just two, it's you and Jesus and that person. And once he comes on the scene, the situation's going to change. Because the battlefield looks very different when Jesus is on the scene, when you start to see it the way that he sees it. And that's why Revelation, the prophet says, gives you prevailing power. It gives you authority over the devil. I'll finish with this thought. Revelation changes the church from being dormant to being militant, to being active. That's what Revelation does. Amen. It quickens people, and people are on the move once again. People are doing something once again. That's what Revelation does. Like I said, it takes you from the back foot and puts you on the front foot. It's like Revelation gives a new impetus to the children of God. It takes you forward once again. And if I could just give you a simple example to show you what Revelation is coming into your life, how it can change the battlefield. It's the same story we were speaking the other week about David. Because it's so simple. Many times the thing that's going to change your battlefield is so simple. You'll be waiting for some big something to come to change your situation. But God has something just so simple. And here was Goliath. Israel were on the back foot. Goliath had his boasting, and the impetus, the initiative of the battle was with the Philistines. They had taken the initiative. And they were very good men in the army of Israel. It wasn't that they were bad people. But they were caught unawares. They were on the back foot saying, what are we going to do here? We didn't expect a battle like this. We thought we were going to be facing face to face with Philistines the same size as us, with armor like us, with shields like us, with swords like us. And now there's this giant there with his great spear and his thick helmet and his armor that he's got. They never expected that. And when the devil has you in that kind of a position and you don't yet know what God had in mind about that situation, the devil has his day. And he pressed his advantage and he mocked them and he mocked their God and all the things that he did. And I'm sure his voice was anointed because he was anointed of the devil. Friends, there's certain things that people will say to you and they're really anointed of the devil. And to show they're anointed of the devil, you can't forget them. It'll be with you in your car. It'll be with you when you're shaving in the morning. It'll be with you when you're on your way to work. That was anointed of the devil. And the only way you overcome that, you got to get something to counter that fresh from above that's anointed of the Lord. That's how you overcome that thing. But here was Goliath, so anointed of the devil. And the children of Israel, they were trembling and starting to question themselves, maybe questioning their God and questioning their commission. And, hey, what does this mean? Why are things like this? But God had the answer. Now, David maybe had been to that place many times before. Maybe he had walked through there many times before. But this time when he came, it was different. Because he was the right man at the right time, and he was anointed for the job. That's like the Bible. You may have read scriptures many, many times. But just in the midst of your battle, when you don't know how to overcome, you don't know what to do next, something so simple like David coming to the battlefield, you will just read a simple scripture that you've read many times before. But it's the right scripture at the right time, and it's got the right anointing upon it. And it's been sent at that time for a very specific purpose. And that's exactly what David was. And David came there that time, and it was different. He was anointed. He was prepared. And look at the lesson of when David comes to the battlefield. Friends, never play to the strength of the enemy. You know, it was so ingenious the way that the Lord led him there. The Lord sends him there freshly anointed. He's got his testimonies of the lion and the bear. He comes down there. He's anointed. He's been anointed by the prophet. The Holy Ghost has come upon him. He comes to the battlefield. And all he's got is a slingshot. Now that may seem nothing. Because he has a giant with thick armor. A boasting Philistine. But friends, that was the greatest wisdom, the most powerful weapon to be used. Saul wants to put the armor on him. No matter which armor you're going to get from the camp of Israel, it was never going to match Goliath's armor. Maybe Saul says, use my sword. No matter how great Saul's sword was, it was never going to be able to match the sword of Goliath. No matter what helmet they gave to David, it was never going to be a match for the helmet of Goliath. Don't fight the battle on the devil's terms, friends. Amen. If David had have gone anywhere near Goliath, he was doomed. Anywhere within arm's reach of Goliath, he was going to lose that battle. He couldn't fight it like that. Imagine just the wisdom of God to overcome that battle. He comes with one weapon that you can use from a distance. David had the initiative. Because there was nothing that Goliath had that he could use to touch David from a distance. A And God so inspired this young boy. He says, I don't need this arm. I don't need this shield. I'm going in the name of the Lord. I'm going to use that which I've proved. Hallelujah. A slingshot. Now there's a new film. I don't know if you watch it, about the Bible. It's quite good, some of it. I showed a little bit to Brother Will. But it's very interesting how they do Goliath. Goliath comes and he's boasting. And when David comes forth now from the camp of Israel, Goliath starts laughing. And he looks at his men and he starts laughing. And he takes off his helmet. And maybe it was like it, I don't know. But it's very interesting. In the film, he takes off his helmet. He says, this young boy. And he opens the one vulnerable spot in his armor right to David. And David goes, shra, shra, da, and down goes Goliath. Friends, it can be something so simple that changes the battle. Just be in the posture of duty. Just follow the leadership of the Lord. It doesn't need something great sometimes. It might just be a simple scripture. And God will just quicken the right scripture at the right time, and it's going to be just as powerful as that little pebble that came from the sling of David. And now watch what happens on the battlefield. When God sends the right thing at the right time, anointed for the season, something just in season, the impetus changes in the battle. And all of a sudden, instead of Israel being on the back foot, the whole of Israel's on the front foot. And instead of the Philistines being on the front foot, having the initiative, the Philistines have lost the initiative and they're on the run. And Israel takes advantage of their season. And friends, that's what we need. But it sometimes hinges on such a small little thing. It'll be so simple, it'll just drop down. Let me give you one final example. Imagine, there's 1,000 years of dark ages, yeah? The devil, he puts his forces in unassailable positions. He has the Vatican, he has Rome ruling the whole of Europe. There's cardinals, there's the church in every district, every parish. They pass laws. No one can read the Bible in their own language. Only the priest can read the Bible. And he has to read it in Latin. Imagine. No other people allowed to worship apart from the Catholics. The whole of Europe is dark. It's the dark ages. Satan thinks, I have tied this up so close. There's no way God is going to be able to do anything here. And what does God use? Martin Luther. One scripture. Just one scripture. Luther's there in his monastery. He's so discouraged with life. He's tried all of this Catholic tradition to try to find liberty. He just reads Galatians one day. The just shall live by faith. Friends. And that little scripture, a word in season that God dropped down into the soul of Luther, it turned the whole of Europe upside down. Instead of the devil having the initiative went into the hands of the children of God. And the whole of the church started to rise up once again, the genuine believers, and says, we will not have this man to rule over us. And that caused the Reformation. Can you see how simple it can be? But how powerful just one little bit of revelation, communion with God, when he drops something in its season into the soul of a person. Can you just see how powerful the effects of that can be? That's how to encourage our saints. Let's really get back into communion with them. If you're not in communion with the Lord, if you've been having too much communion with the world, or too much communion with the flesh, or too much communion with the devil, I'd really encourage you to get yourself back in communion. Get back in communion with him. Get back in communion with his people. And it won't take long. Satan's going to fight like he did in the book of Daniel. He's going to try to block the blessing. He's going to try to hold it back and resist as long as he can. But Michael's going to stand up after a while and say, enough is enough. You move out the way. And the message is going to get through. And something's going to strike your soul. And when it strikes your soul, that's going to change the situation. That's going to change the situation to you and I. That's why I said we're speaking this evening about conflict and communion. You'll never be victorious without communion. You can't, because you need revelation, and revelation only comes by having communion with him. But when you've got a revelation, it may seem to be so simple to other people, but it's so powerful when it's your personal possession. And that's the thing that gives you authority. That's the thing that gives you the impetus to take the initiative once again and say, Satan, get thou behind me. And Satan has to listen every time. I'll finish with one thing which the prophet speaks. He says, in the greatest battle ever fought, he says, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Hallelujah. What does the Spirit fight with? Sensations? Feelings? No. He says, the Word. Glory, he says. The Spirit of God walks right up to the devil and says, it is written. It is written, and the devil gives way. That's why it's got to be the Spirit in you. It's got to be personal to you. How is the Spirit going to walk up to the devil in your situation? He's got to come in you by divine revelation. God's got to pour the resource into you. And then the Spirit in you is going to say to the devil, it's written, and the devil's going to give way in your current situation. And that's the way that you overcome any situation. The prophet says God has fortified his church by the word. Long as you stay behind the word, he says you're only as strong as the word that is in you. And Satan knows that, friends, and he's going to try everything that he can. You may accumulate knowledge, you may accumulate theology. That's what we're speaking about. We're speaking about the revealed word. That portion of the word that God knows you need to overcome your personal temptations at this time, just as much as Jesus overcame in his day. Let's remember that as we come to the table, because this broken bread represents Jesus, and Jesus is the word made flesh. And as you partake of this bread, let's be praying and saying, Lord, just as much as this bread gives natural life and this wine gives a natural stimulation, Lord, lead and guide me to the genuine bread. That bread which you said, you are the bread that's come down from heaven. Anybody who eats this bread will never die. And this wine, he says, is his blood. It's the life that was in his veins that has been poured out once again. And saying, Lord, I just so desire the stimulation of revelation once again, that I might just rise up once again and take this battle to the enemy. Because when all is said and done, friends, the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's, and he's the one who's already overcome. He's the one who's already conquered. Sorry, I'll read one more scripture, one more quote here, which I just remembered from How Can I Overcome? I'll finish with this. The prophet says, how can I overcome? He says, to overcome means to recognize the devil in every one of his tricks. That's, once you recognize what the devil's doing, you've already overcome. Because you've received intelligence from on high. You've received fresh battle orders from the chief captain. He says, to overcome means to recognize the devil in every one of his tricks. Lots of people say there's no devil. It's just a thought. Don't you believe that? There's a real devil. He's just as real as you are. And you must recognize him as real. Recognize him and know that he's against you. Then to overcome, that's not enough just to recognize him. Then to overcome, you may recognize that the God that is in you is greater than him. Is mightier than he is. And by grace, you are more than a match for him. There's real overcoming, recognizing. That's how we need revelation, friends. We need to recognize what the devil is doing. We need to recognize what he's trying to do. And the moment we recognize that, and recognize that the one that's revealing it to us, who's living in us, the Spirit of Christ in us, has already overcome the devil. He's never lost a battle. And if we'll just yield ourselves to him, no matter what we're going through, we come out as overcomers. We'll come out as overcomers every single time. Let's stand, saints. Let's sing a song. We invite the musicians up. Let's come to the time of communion. No matter what you're going through, I'm sure you're like me, you're just desiring communion with the Lord. You're just desiring something fresh in your soul from him. You know, we love one another. We love to speak of this, that, and the other, but to hear from him, that makes all the difference. And may God grant us that privilege as we partake of communion.
Deidad Veda upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wear.
Yes, to win.
Teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees till in your own good time you'll answer my pleas. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles.
They shall
run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait.
Yes, to wait.
Teach me, Lord, to wait. While hearts are aflame, help me humble my pride and call your name. Keep my faith renewed,
keep my eyes on thee.
Help me beyond this earth what you want me to be. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait.
Yes, to wait.
Let's come to a short time of prayer before the Lord's saints. You know where you are spiritually this evening. I know where I am. I know what I'm seeking of the Lord. I'm sure you know what you're desiring of the Lord as well. Why don't you put ourselves before the Lord just for a time of prayer, just to submit ourselves to Him, just to say, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Lord, continue. Lead me, guide me, help me. I'm waiting upon you. Let's all pray before we come to communion. Father, just so needy. Let's read our communion scripture here, saints. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's read 1 Corinthians 11 from 23 as we come now to the Lord's Supper. Verse 23, 1 Corinthians 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the body that was broken, the bread. Jesus, we wouldn't be here today, and we know that, Lord. We'd never have prevailed and overcome. Father, have been recipients of your grace, recipients of your mercy, if it wasn't for the finished work of Christ. Father, if it wasn't that your body was broken, that your blood was shed. And Jesus, even as we come to partake of this bread, bless it, Lord. Bless this wine, we ask and pray. Jesus, we think of the stimulation of this wine. Lord, it's nothing compared to the stimulation of the revelation of your word. And that is what we long for, Lord Jesus, for more and more of you. Please bless these elements as we partake. Bless your people as we partake. We do pray for them that are sick. Father, even at this time, raise them up, we'd pray. Bring them back into your house, we ask. Father, and let us be together in communion with them once again, we pray. Them that are low in spirit, we do pray for them as well. Father, them that have traveled, gone different places, I consecrate them into thine hands. Father, may you bless us now as we partake, and even as we wash one another's feet. Father, as we commune with one another, Father, may there be virtue in the body. And may as we pray for one another, may you minister grace to each of us, we ask and pray upon this night with thanksgiving, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's come to communion, saints.
Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinners, paid all his dues. Sprinkle your soul in the blood of the Lamb, and I'll pass, will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Chiefest of sinners, Jesus will say, all he has promised, that will he do. Wash in the fountain open for sin, and I'll pass, will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over.
Let's open John chapter 13. Let's read foot washing. We'll read from verse 12. John 13:12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Amen. It's always a principle of the word that once you know something, put it into practice. And may the Lord help us as we wash one another's feet. Ask the sisters to come this side, brothers to go this side. And may the Lord bless us.
God.
I shall not be moved. I shall not.
I shall not be moved.
Just like a tree that's planted by the water. I shall not be moved.
Let's sing one more, brother. You have something, brother? Let's sing. Praise awaits thee in Zion, O Lord. Yeah. Zion, O Lord,
praise awaits thee in Zion, O Lord.
To you
our vows will all be fulfilled. Praise awaits thee in Zion. So we lift the name of Jesus all the way. Messiah, Prince of Peace, the Lord awaits. And our love will grow stronger.
Sing that song we haven't sung for a long time. Okay, you choose one, right? It's okay.
Blood, seated on your throne of grace, it's only by your mercies we are saved. Lord, you have said, if we call upon your name, we and our families will be saved. So we cry out your name, El Shaddai, God of grace. Lord, most high, Jesus Christ, we rely on your grace, Adonai, crowning praise, Lord Most High, Jesus Christ, Father of love, never failing to forgive. Each moment is a gift for you to live. We're only here to tell the world about your grace. Until the day you take us all away. So we cry out your name. God of grace, Lord Most High, Jesus Christ, we rely on your grace. Crowning praise, Lord Most High, Jesus Christ. So we cry out your name, El Shaddai.
Anybody has a request before the Lord, before we go? Just praying for Brother Brian. Is he away? Sister, did he go for the funeral? Okay, let's pray for Brother Brian. Let's just remember the other saints as well who aren't here tonight. And you know your own needs that you have inside of your own soul. Let's just raise our hands to the Lord. He sees the heart. Heavenly Father, thank you that you see our hearts even now. Thank you, Lord, that there's nothing hidden before you. Thank you that everything is open. Everything is plain before you, Lord. And how wonderful that it is that we can just come before you. And Father, we can just be ourselves. Father, we can just be honest. We can just be sincere. We can just be simple. And Father, we can speak unto you the very desires of our hearts. Because, Lord, you know our thoughts. Father, you know our desires before thee. Father, we just want to please you. We just want to do your will. And Father, I bring every need up unto thee, Father. Having spoken this evening, Lord, Father, once again, thou knowest, Father, the battles of this life. Thou knowest, Lord, in heavenly places, Lord Jesus, the things that take place. But how wonderful that you are, Father, in the revelation of your word. How wonderful that you are in your fellowship and your communion with your people. So we thank you that you've allowed us to partake of communion. Now, Father, lead us from this place, we'd pray, even upon this night, and have mercy upon us for the new day. Give us traveling mercies, Lord. Bring us back, Lord, and help us, Lord, just to come in the quietness of things, Lord, and that our hearts would be prepared, that you'd bless the Sunday school tomorrow, that you'd bless the children when they have their Sunday school, that you'll bless the young people, that you'll bless each brother and sister, the musicians, and Father, the song leader, each, Lord, person in the post of duty, that you'd bring us for your glory. And Father, them that aren't here this night, I do raise them up unto you in your precious name. Father, you know every sparrow, even that falls to the ground. You know the reason, you know the cause. We just bring and consecrate your people to you upon this night. Father, won't you just have mercy upon us? Speak to us in the quietness of things, even as we at rest. Father, put strength in us. Bring us back for your glory. Father, minister grace unto your people, we'd ask and pray. Give traveling mercies now. Minister healing, where healing is needed, Lord. Minister, Lord, the balm and the oil, where that's required, Lord. And Father, we look to you, for we need you, and we bring it all before thee. You be glorified as we go from this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Saints, God bless you. Meet you tomorrow by the grace of God. Let's keep each other in prayer. Amen. So we cry.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of hope. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus with you as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, pray that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our soul with joy. When His loving arms receive us and His song of our tongues employ. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy.